Simmons the other way. The gallop, the drive, and the two. What a play.
How about the length by Simmons?
Simmons! Oh, don't get in his way. I'm talking. Here comes Simmons. Approaching five to play in the second quarter. Simmons with a great corkscrew move and a foul. Simmons just takes it across the line. Fouls! What a play by Simmons! Second try. Here comes Simmons between the legs. Happy!
NBA Australia, how you going? That's right, man. It's NBA Australia. Welcome to NBA Australia for Wednesday, October 17. I'm yours, James Clements. I'm a writer of Rolling Stone, Triple J, Junkie, Red Bull Mag, and whoever else wants to pay me money. And I'm here in Larry Armour Studios letting you know who's doing what's going on, where they're doing it, why they're doing it, and of course, who's doing it better than Lonzo Ball in the NBA today. And it's just as bloody well, because the NBA season has started. How good is this? So we're going to do that with just while repping Australia a little bit, mate. Just what we do. So that's it, man. Today's show covers the first day of the new NBA season. That means game wraps of Celtics, Sixers, Warriors, Thunder, along with all our usual dumbassery. That means That's Not a Knife, Old Mate, No Mate, Spud of the Night, Gentle or Brutal Pantsing of the Evening, and of course, the return of Yeah Nah, the Unpopular Opinion of the Day, and Outback Takehouse, where we're serving up flame grilled takes. And because it's Wednesday, let's throw in a new Mark Bradke Memorial Sweaty White Guy of the Week, and we'll finish off with a brand new Joe Ingles HR Manager. Oh, it's an absolute pearl. How good is it? The NBA is back! And this is NBA Australia episode 162. Let's just go, mate.
This is David Anderson. You're listening to NBA Australia.
Watch out for the Shaq attack.
Oh, you better. Because it is. NBA Australians, the way we start every show, that means the daily whip around. Yeah, man. So we have a brand new season. It's all rolled off pretty nicely. We predicted at the end of yesterday's show that both the Celtics and Warriors would win tonight. And that's what happened. So there you go. Called it. So let's get stuck in right now. We're just going to do it. We're just going to dive right in the wraps. It's been a while since we've done this. That's fun. So we had the Sixers visiting Boston in the opening game of the NBA season for the 2018-19. Sizzin, how good is this? What a matchup. There's Australians everywhere, mate. It's absolutely bloody glorious. And the Celtics run away with it. 105-87. Big 19. Was that 18-point win? There you go. I'll learn how to do maths one day. Sixers, mate. Tough one. I mean, Big Simo crushed it. Nearly had a triple-double with 19 points, 15 rebounds, 8 assists, 4 steals, and 2 blocks. I mean, what a line. That's awesome. Unfortunately, didn't need a jump shot. He had a nice little floater, like a little right-handed push floater, which was pretty good. Had some incredible assists, like as you heard at the top of the show. Man, he was dishing and diming. It was great. Cruising in subliming. It was awesome. Joel Embiid backed him up ably with 23 and 10. That came on 9 of 21 shooting, though, and 5 turnovers for the big Cameroonian. That's ouch. That's a big lot of ouch. JJ Redick missed a bunch of open looks for the Sixers, ended up 7 of 17, 2 of 8 from 3. The Sixers actually went 5 of 28 from 3, which is gross. That's officially 19%, which I believe falls under the phrase shithouse. That's not great, Bob. Other bloke missing a bunch of threes was Covington, which is weird. I saw him hit like 13 straight threes at Sixers practice like 3 weeks ago. He went 2 of 7 in this game. That is also not great. The homie, Dario Saric, he had a rough one as well. 3 of 8, 0 of 4 from 3. So the only dudes for the Sixers to go over double digits were Embiid, Simo, and Redick. And that won't beat the Celtics there, fellas. So we got a repeat of the Eastern Conference semis where they kind of just, figured out how to defend Simmons and just rolled with it. And that's what happened over and over and over. It was tough. So for the Celtics, Jason Tatum looking a bit too Kobe at times in this, ended up with 23 points, a 9 of 17 shooting, 9 rebounds, 3 assists, including a buster move on Embiid for a pull-up jumper. Step back. right in his face. It was pretty good. Everyone lost their minds. That was pretty good. There was also a little bit too much of that Kobe Mamba mentality, I think, for Tatum there for a little while. He decided to go full Mamba. And everyone's like, hey, Tatum, just chill out, mate. Just pass it a couple of times. What do you reckon? And then he settled in and it was fine. Not fine. It was Kyrie Irving. Missed everything. Ended up 2 of 14 from the field. 1 of 8 from 3. Gross. And so did Gordo Hayward, even though, he hasn't played in basically bang on a year. But at least he got through this game without snapping his fucking leg in half and turning shit all upside down and whatnot. So good on you, Gordo. That's a surprise. Scored his first Celtics points. Ended up 4 of 12 and for a 10-5 with 4 steals. Pretty good. Elsewhere, there was Scary Terry Rose over there. He was a revelation. He looked bloody amazing, mate. Especially with Kyrie kind of, struggling with his shot. Terry got out there with the second unit and sort of just kind of kept crushing it. Lazy 11 points, 8 rebounds. He was hella effective while Kyrie was struggling. It's pretty good to see. The two Marcuses were pretty good. Smart was very diligent and ferocious as per usual for Marcus Smart there. While Mook Morris, 16 and 10, crushing it. But still, come on, mate. Bangers. Bangers! All of Australia. He was the best big man out there for long stretches of this game, which was amazing. We'll break that down in a little bit more in a little bit later. Just that there's a teaser for you. But the point being, the Celtics, like, they just go like 9 or 10 dudes deep at this point, don't they? They can throw any look at you, and as they sort of prove, like, even if Kyrie and Gordo suck, they can still win, which is absolutely bananas, considering, like, they're playing a team that, is a top 4 team in the East. Unbelievable. So my bet for them hitting their over and winning the East is pretty bang on at the moment. I'm feeling all right. So how's this for stats, though? Points in the paint, Philly outscored Boston 64-44. Points outside the paint, Boston 61 to Philly 23. Oh, geez. Yeah, that'll do it when you're not hitting your threes there, Philly. So there you go. Opening salvo. We had 4 Australians in this one as well. He had bangers, he had Aussie Kyrie, he had Jonah Bolden get out there for his NBA debut for a minute, and Big Simo out there crushing it. So, fun one for the Aussies, not a great one for the Sixers if you're a Sixers fan, pretty good one if you're a Celtics fan. You got to feel pretty good about yourself. Then, look, the second game of the night, this was much tighter, and you sort of turned around at a couple of points in this one and like, oh shit. The Thunder were really close still. What the fuck is happening? And then it's like a 3-5-point game getting right down towards the pointy end, and the Warriors pull it out 108-100 over the Thunder, the OKC Zombie Sonics. This was ring night. We got to see the Warriors' rings. They look very ostentatious and very, very ideal for smuggling cocaine. I mean, they're great rings if you are a Victorian aristocrat. They're great rings if you're like, look, we're just going to pop to the toilets and just, we'll be back in 5 minutes. It's all good. I'll take my championship ring. It's like, oh, okay, cool. Nice. On your Warriors. I also like that they've got the bristles on it to signify the sweep of the finals last year. Still not as great as the subtle 3-1 Cavs rings 2016, but pretty good. I love ring petty wars. Anytime you throw it back in the losing team's face with your rings, love it. KD, he's OKC beef. Look, it seems like it's settled down a little bit now. He stared down Rusty at one point after Rusty was screaming at Steven Adams to, get in the post and get the ball, and KD stripped him and stared down Rusty. But other than that, it wasn't too bad, was it? So for the Thunder, the losers, look, they look really good. Defense. I mean, they look really, really good. And it's going to be really fascinating to see how good they are when Rusty and Roberson get back. Roberson in a couple of months, Rusty probably, next week sometime, but pretty good. And you could just sort of see that the offense wasn't quite there without Rusty, which, makes sense for the dude who averages a triple-double. He's done it twice. Never happened. Once. After Oscar Robertson, then Rusty's just gone out and done it twice. Turns out he's pretty good at basketball, and having him on your team is better than not. Anyway, so Paul George is left there as the alpha dog, and those words are never great together because, look, he was all right, but very inefficient. 27 points on 23 shots. Kobe! 4 of 12 from 3. It's a rough one. Could have been a lot better. A couple of weird slip-ups and misses late that were absolute head-scratches, but not if you've ever watched Paul George before. Because, look, clutch Paul George is not a thing. And it was a very funny Gatorade ad where he's hitting a buzzer beater where he's like hit one go-ahead shot in like the last 25 seconds of a game, like for his career or something bananas. So, yeah, when you're hinging all your team and your franchise on Paul George, it doesn't feel great, does it? Feeds into that very normal PG narrative of him not being a top-tier dude as well. And you can kind of see, it's like, look, they can be almost as good as the Warriors, but not quite as good. So let's get Rusty back as soon as possible. German Rondo and Dennis Schroeder. He looked pretty sick, man. Love the hair. His shooting, not so much. 21 points on 7 of 19 shooting. Kobe! Yeah. Especially the air ball where they're down 5 with less than a minute to go. That would have gotten them right back in it. An open 3. Airballed it. Flat, straight out airballed. Oh, it's a tough one. But anyway, you know, he's at least, you know, out there doing exactly what we all expected him to do, sans Rusty. Go out there, score, and be inefficient. I don't know what else. But he does look pretty handy on D. He's just long, man. There's just, like, his arms. Fucking spiders. Speaking of everywhere, Steve Nedum's brew. He crushed it. He had 17 and 11. Looked really good. Unfortunately, he got outplayed by the Golden State Warriors centers. Talk about that in a second. A lot of that was also to do with Nerlens Noel. He didn't do much. He got weirdly hell outplayed by like Kevon Looney and Jordan Bell and Damian Jones, which shouldn't really happen. During Nerlens Noel was a mooted top overall pick back then and instead obviously dropped down to 6. But geez, Nerlens, come on, mate. What's going on? But for the Thunder, the rest of the problem was really Abrines, Jeremy Grant, Ray Felton. They went 6 of 20 between the three of them. T-Fur couldn't get it going either. He started 24 minutes, went 0 of 2. It's a tough one. So, yeah, the Thunder really just hinged on George Adams and German Rondo, and it wasn't great. Also, they missed 13 free throws. So when you lose by 8 and you miss 13 fucking free throws, what are you doing? Jesus, 24 of 37. That's gross. Anyway, so there you go. That was pretty gross. For the Warriors, though, look, very nice-looking game. Steph, it was just fucking magical, as per usual. 32 points, 8 rebounds, 9 assists, 5 of 9 from 3. Just right in mid-season form with Steph. It was pretty good. The coward Kevin Durant was similar. He had 27 points, 9 of 21 shooting. Not bad. Anytime there was a problem, though, they could just throw it to those two guys and bang on, away you go, right? Like, it's just that cheat code. It's just a pain in the butt, really. Say that much. Who else? Klay Thompson. I mean, didn't have a great game. 5 of 20. Blech. For 14 points. 1 of 8 from 3. Mate, when you can survive a night where he and KD go 1 of 13 from 3, you know you're doing something right. But still, a lot of it also really came down to their big dudes and sort of just filling in the gaps there, which is what they did very, very well. Because Draymond couldn't really find the rim, but had a whole bunch of rebounds and 5 assists. That was pretty good. But it was Kevon Looney, who had 10 points, 10 rebounds. Damian Jones had a career-high 12 points. That's very, very good, bro. So they really combined and sort of out-muscled and outplayed the Thunder front court, especially with Jeremy Grant out there. Couldn't do much. So good job by the Warriors big dudes. Iguodala left after the first with a calf problem here. Quinn Cook looked pretty good as well, but the story of this was really just that, man, the Warriors have just got so much bloody talent in Steph and KD that, you know, if other guys are really struggling to score, then they can just ride out bad games from those dudes, especially when, like, the dudes in the edges, like Looney and Jones play well, or Livingston, etc., step up. It's just what they do, and it kills you. It bloody well kills you, mate. What do you reckon? So that was a great sort of fun 1-2 punch for the opening night of the season. Feels good. NBA's back. Love it. All right, and you know what we should do? We should get in to some bloody segments. Oh, what do you reckon? Are you ready for this one?
That's a knife.
That is a knife. It is the NBA Stereo Proof performance of the evening. We're back with it, and it's mate. Who do you reckon it could be? The man from Ariba. Bangers, Aaron Baines. Locked up Embiid. Dropped 2 banging threes. Pulled down a shit ton of rebounds. Come on, man. He was just out there shutting down Embiid when he was on him and being the best bloke out on the floor, basically, for long stretches of the game. Finished with 8 points, 4 rebounds, 3 assists, not in only 19 minutes. That's unreal. Had a huge impact, though. He was a plus 8 while he was out there, just saying. So I don't know if it's too early for bangers for MVP buzz, but I'm going to start it right now. Let's do it. For a while there, he was leading the NBA in 3-point percentage as well, going 2 of 4 until Steph hit He's, what was it, 5 of 9, and then Quinn Cook hit 1 of 1. So he's actually now tied for third on your bangers. What about old mate, no mates, though?
Old mate, no mates.
Who's got no mates today? Oh, I reckon it'd be Joel Embiid. That was a rough night for the big Cameroonian. Everyone kept trying to embarrass him, from Jaylen Brown trying to dunk him into oblivion, Jason Tatum trying to cross him up. Even bangers tried to dunk on him and make him look like a fool. It was a tough one for him. I mean, 9 of 21 was a tough night for the for a center anyway, but still, poor Embiid. But at the same time, it's the Jalen Ramsey corollary, like where it's like, corollary, there we go. I'll use my words. Where if you talk shit, you got to back it up. And people were just reveling in going at him last night, which was very, very fun. So there you go, Joel Embiid, old mate, no mate. What about Spud of the night, though?
Spud of the night.
Oh my God, I love that drop. Spud of the night. Who was the Spud of the night? Ah, it's a combo. It was the Kyrie and Gordo combo. Yeah, I'll have the Kyrie-Gordo combo. Thanks, Demartis, for my suva. Cheers, mate. Tough combo for the comeback kids. 2 of 14 for Kyrie. Turns out believing the world is round somehow doesn't help his game. He's acknowledged that it's round and he apologized to the teachers. Maybe he should have just kept thinking it was flat. 4 of 12 for Gordo as well. 1 of 3 from 3. So 6 of 28 between the two. Sputtered it up, but come on. Both coming back from injuries. Really long layoff for Gordo and had, you know, his weird little setback that no one really talked about. Where it's like he should have been running in 5-on-5 drills and they had to go back in and fix a little bit of extra stuff up. And now he's only just sort of gotten going in the last month or two. And Kyrie coming back from his weird knee thing, they just need to get back into game shape. So give him a couple of weeks and they'll be fine. What about the pantsing of the night? Oh, Jaylen Brown on Joel Embiid. That was a work of art. He tried to dunk all over him. Embiid got up with two hands and kind of basically dunked it to the point where it ended up going in off the glass. It was the classic banked dunk, which was very strange, but it brought the house down. It was unreal, and it looks just beautiful. So go look at a photo of that. That is amazing. That was the hell pantsing of the night. And then finally, now, do we change this to better than Trae Young, or do we keep it as better than Lonzo Ball?
Lonzo was the best player in high school. He was the best player in college. You think you'll get to the pros and be like, I made it to the pros. Now I can be average. He's coming for everybody.
I mean, I'm assuming Lonzo's still coming for everybody, but we could also, look, we just need Trae Young's dad talking shit so I could use a drop with him. But better than Trae Young / Lonzo Ball, what do you reckon? We can, you know, expand it out from rookies into second year dudes. This is handy. It works today because Jonah Bolden, what a debut. I mean, he played a minute and didn't do anything bad, so that's good. Good job, son of Bruce. Son of Bruce. Damian Jones, on the other hand, though, was better than Lonzo Ball. Second year, big man for the Warriors. 12 points, 3 blocks, had himself a game. Was out there crushing it as the starting center for the champ. 6 of 7 from the field, 3 rebounds, 2 assists, 3 blocks. Just out there crushing it. It was really good. So good on you, Damian. I mean, your name's also Damien. That's weird. All right, so we'll be back right after this with some Yenas.
Hi, this is Ryan Brockoff, and you're listening to NBA Australia.
All right, we are back with Yena. We take 3 NBA storylines and decide whether they're more yeah or more nah. So let's get stuck right in. What do you reckon there, Stephen A. Smith?
What was that? What the hell was that?
That's a good question. What the hell was that? Because the Celtics, do they even need Kyrie and Gordon Hayward to smash fellow Eastern Conference contenders? Yeah, nah. No, nah, but yeah, I guess. I mean, they'll probably come in handy down the track. They didn't really need them today. But I feel like, you know, having Kyrie and Gordon Hayward on your team is better than not having them on your team. But man, it's just good to see Terry Rozier just come out there and just keep on kicking ass and taking names like he ended the season last year. And Marcus Smart doing Marcus Smart things, Mook Morris being himself. So good job, Celtics. I think they'll be all right. And having Kyrie and Gordo is a good thing. Number two, yeah, nah. Once Rusty gets back, the Thunder are going to be contenders in the West. Yeah, nah. I think they're going to be very close, but not quite. I think they're going to be much better than last year. As mentioned in the season preview, sans Melo, Spud Melo over there. Now that they have to worry about playing him, they're going to be much, much more streamlined. Everyone's going to know their role a little bit better. And the ball should move a little bit easier as well. But, I mean, I'm not sure if they're quite top three material yet. But I do very much like the signs of German Rondo and Nerlens Noel. Even though Noel wasn't really good out there today, I'd still like the idea of him. And if German Rondo can, you know, just be a little bit more efficient, that could be a hell of an addition to the old Thunder there. Those are some damn players, son. But at the same time, you know, sans Rusty, it just seems like there's a lot, way too much Ray Felton for my liking. But, you know, once Rusty gets back, you can shuffle him off and never have to see him again. He can sit there eating pies for all we give a fuck. Anyway, last one. The opening night of the NBA season. It featured the two teams who will be in this year's NBA Finals. Yeah, nah. Yeah, fucking oath, man. Already called it. No, it's not the Sixers Thunder. It's Celtics Warriors, man. They really show just how they can be sort of off and still smoke another playoff team, right? Like, Warriors definitely didn't play like a perfect game. They actually had a bad third quarter for one of the first times ever. And then obviously, look, the Celtics had two spuds out there and they still crushed the damn Sixers. So, man, just seems like there's a Celtic Warriors finals on the horizon. But, you know, we'll see Houston tomorrow. See what's going on. All right, what about the unpopular opinion of the day?
Now look at me, please. Look at me. Look at me. Look at me.
Look at me, look at me, look at me. It's the unpopular opinion of the day. Man, I think Schroeder's hair, Dennis Schroeder, German Rondo, is fucking cool as, man. I mean, I hate OKC. They can fuck off because they're my zombie Sonics and they stole my fucking team. But still, shit, man, that swoop in team colors is rad. I dig it. Charles Barkley sounding off going, man, that's stupid. It's like, nah, it looks fucking rad. Come on. Look, hair stuff, Alfred Payton, that shit can fuck off. He had to shave that. That's all right. But this looks kick-ass, so good on you. All right, what about our back takeouts? It's Wednesday at Outback, and you know what that means. Alice Springs Chicken, what you might call emu, and 2-for-1 Foster's after 7 p.m. All along with some flame-grilled takes. Only at Outback. All right, with the Sacramento Kings pick probably coming to them this year, the Celtics should trade Kyrie Irving because they don't really need him. I mean, thanks for backing me up there, Kawhi. That's pretty handy, mate. All right, we'll be back with the NBA Australian Player Watch right after all these ones.
Oh, kia ora, Brews. This is Stephen Adams, eh, Brew? And you're listening to NBA Australia, eh? Cheer, Brew.
All right, we are back with Australian Player Watch. Obviously, today we had a whole mess of Australians in there. Big Simo, Ben Simmons with the Celtics, as mentioned, almost a triple-double in his debut game for the season. 19 points, 15 rebounds, 8 assists, 4 steals and 2 blocks. Absolutely unreal. Jonah Bolden, son of Bruce, made his NBA debut at the very end of this game. Got a minute out there, didn't do anything bad. Was somehow a minus 2. Come on, Jonah. Lift your game, mate. I don't know. And then on the other side, we had Aaron Bangers Baines. As mentioned, he was our that's not a knife, that's a knife. NBA Australia approved performance of the evening with his 19 minutes, 8 points, 4 rebounds, 3 assists, owning Joel Embiid, hitting 2 threes. And that means we get to re-up the Bangers Triple Watch for the season. He's 2 of 4. And 3rd in the NBA in 3-point percentage. That's awesome. All right, so the other Aussies that we're going to keep track of, obviously, this year is going to be all of them. So that means Joe Ingles, the Jingler, Dante Exum, Kangaroo Kobe, King Daly of Maribara, Kung Fu Thon, Paddy Thrills Mills, and Ryan Rowdy Brockoff. And we'll also check in with Aussie Kyrie from time to time just to make sure he's doing right. Last night, obviously, he sputtered it up 2 of 14. But also just make sure we keep an eye on Deng Adele and Mitchie Creek and Isaac Humphreys, who all might pop up in the G League, etc. Or maybe overseas. We'll see how they go. And then obviously on every Thursday, we're going to check on Stephen Adams Brew with the Kiwi Watch, which is what we do. So what we're also going to do now, every, we miss him in the NBA. So We're going to look at Mangok Mathiang and play. We played it last year with Jonah Bolden. We're going to play Where in the World is Mango Mathiang? And he's over in Italy. Can you believe that? Vanoli. Hey, Vanoli Cremona. In the La Liga, Serie A, which is awesome. So, look, hopefully he gets some run, makes his way back into the NBA, but we'll keep an eye on what he's up to over in Europe, same as we did last year with Jonah Bolden when he was with Maccabi Tel Aviv. And that was really fun. An idea just to keep a close eye on those European leagues. You never know who's going to pop up. Also, it's Wednesday, so we'd usually do a Sweaty White Guy of the Week, the Mark Brecky Memorial. And look, today, let's just get it done. It's bangers. Mate, for 19 minutes, boy, does that fucking noggin of his get sweaty. I'll tell you, the man from Ariba. Need to put a bucket underneath him. Every 4 minutes, just need to towel him off. Unreal. But on your bangers. It was a classic, classic game. All right, we'll be back in just a second, and we'll have a whole mess of game previews for you. Oh, that's right. We're back predicting games, and this time we're going to do the over-under and actually pick, against the spread. It's going to be awesome. Let's do it right after this.
G'day, this is Thon McCurr, and you're listening to NBA Straya.
Yeah, let's do it. Game previews.
Game previews. Game previews.
Oh, wow. What do you reckon, Inadvertent Bane? It's nice to have you back.
Thank you. It's nice to be back for the game previews.
Well, that was weird. Anyway, Milwaukee at Charlotte. Let's do it. We've got a shit ton of games on Australia Thursday. What do we got? 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. My God, is that 12? Unbelievable. And we're going to pick all of them. We'll give you a quick rundown. So first off, we've got Milwaukee at Charlotte. Oh, yes. That means Dally and Thon. Maybe. Both been nursing little knee problems. Dally didn't get much run in the preseason. Only popped up in the final game. Thon sat that one out. So hopefully they get in there against Charlotte. See how they go. This is the start of the Giannis for MVP campaign. It's going to be incredible to see how he goes this year. Also going to be very interesting to see how Buds goes in his debut as the new Milwaukee coach, replacing that sentient spud, Jason Kidd. Amazing. On your Buds, I think this is going to be incredible for Milwaukee this year. I think I had a run of picks. I think I had them, what was it, third or fourth? Should be incredible. They might be better in Toronto. You never know. We've also got another debut coach on the other side. That's James Borrego. Hey, Borrego. In Charlotte. Which is going to be interesting to see how their rotation shakes out, if Malik Monk can be a most improved candidate behind Dante Kangaroo, Kobe Exum, etc. And look, the Bucks. I'm taking the Bucks at minus two. Yeah. Two under. There you go. Give me the Bucks. I like it. It's weird doing the gambling stuff now that, you can. It's awesome. Bucks minus two. Take them. They're going to smash them. Brooklyn at Detroit. Ooh, the Nets always lose in Detroit, so book that one. It's going to be interesting to see Blake and Andre and Reggie Jackson, sad Blake Griffin, out there with a coach who isn't also the GM. So Dwayne Casey makes his debut as the Detroit coach. A lot of new coaches, man. Brooklyn's run and gun is going to get a lot of run, and they're going to get run out of a lot of buildings this year, but I think they keep a lot of things close. And look, give me Brooklyn plus five in this. I think they keep it close. They might end up losing, but you got the 5 points, so take them. Memphis at Indy. Oh, we're also going to keep track of how we do with our picks this year. It's going to be fascinating. We're 2 of 2 at the moment. Memphis and Indy. Ugh. So it would have been a rough one last year. Still kind of a rough one this year, but at least Memphis get Mike Conley back. So you can see if they can play any watchable basketball again. It's going to be fun. We get Triple J. He debuts. Jaren Jackson Jr. Go get it, son. We've got Indy trying to bounce back and prove that last year wasn't a fluke. And you know what? The more I think about it, they've added these dudes to the team to make sure they got more ball handling. I feel like they were kind of my prime candidate for, they out of nowhere kicked ass last year because Victor Oladipo took a massive step forward. They could be a prime candidate to fall all the way back. I mean, I didn't like them going to last year. Victor just lifted them all the way up. So really, a lot of this hinges on Miles Turner and Victor being in the MVP conversation, as well as their new dudes like Tyreke Evans and Dougie McBuckets actually lifting and, helping out, carrying that weight from Victor. So we'll see how we go. And obviously on the Memphis side, look, they get Mike Conley back. They've got Winge and Marc Gasol. They've actually got a couple of wings now. They'll see how they go. So I reckon this will be a bit tighter than you expect. Grizzlies, I'll take those guys at plus 6.5. 6.5 points, I'll take that. Give me that for the Grizz. I reckon it'll just be a little bit closer than that. India will probably still win, but still. Miami to Orlando. Oosh, it's a rough one. Orlando, their supersized front court of Mo Bamba, Johnny Isaac, Azar Gordon. Miami, you got their sick new unis. Orlando don't have a point guard. This is going to be a bit weird. Miami, though, their new unis. Welcome back D-Wade for his last go-around. No fat D on waiters, but I reckon Justice Winslow and Bam out of bio. Going to have huge years, so I think Miami will smoke them. I'll take Miami at minus 2.5 for this game. Atlanta at the New York Knickerbockers of New York City. Woo! Who's going to be watching this one? Knicks fans and masochists. It's a brutal one. Trae Young, Kevin Huerta. See if they can get something going out there in that backcourt in Atlanta. I'll see if Kevo Knox could be the prince who was promised for the Knickerbockers. Also, they've still got Frankie Smokes and Moutier. Even sans the extreme Zinger Burger. Oh, fully charged Zinger Burger.
Supercharged Zinger Burger.
Yes. He's not going to be back until, like, whoever knows. But hopefully, they don't bring him back at all. If he'd be smart, you wouldn't bring him back. What are you doing? But I think I'll take the Hawks there at plus 3.5. Give me that. Give me that Hawks money line. I like that. I think they'll come out on fire. They might not win another game for October and November, but I reckon they might be better than the Knicks, who might be the worst team in the NBA. I mean, look, Tim Hardaway Jr., is he like their best player at the moment? Jeez, rough as guts. That might be a Tim Hardaway Jr. revenge game, though, against the Hawks. Might put up 45 and they might still lose. All right, Cleveland at Toronto. Kevin loves Cavs. Interesting. They've got a rookie point guard in the sex man, Colin. There's probably someone going to punch Tristan Thompson this year. And this is the first time we'll have seen Kawhi Leonard play properly for about a million years. Oh, geez. Kind of interesting, like Eastern Conference semifinals rematch. Remember how, you know, Toronto got swept last year by LeBron? Weird. Pretty funny, though. So Toronto, 12-point favorites in this one. And you know what? Give me Toronto. I think they will smoke Cleveland. It's the classic Toronto. We're going to smash here in the regular season. Kawhi's going to come out look good. Cleveland might challenge the Knicks as the worst team in the East. People are like, oh, but they've got lots of veterans, bro. It's like, yeah, but those veterans fucking suck. Apart from Kevin Love. Jeez. I mean, you're going to roll out J.R. Smith? He's just going to launch a bomb every time he fucking touches the ball. Weird. Anyway, New Orleans at Houston. This is going to be a fun-ass game, this one. AD by himself with Jrue Holiday versus the beard CP3 and Melo. Is it me you're looking for? Melo. It's pretty weird that it's like we've heard nothing about CP3's health and stuff going into this season. Something to keep an eye on. Everyone's like, oh, yeah, it's all right. He just pulled a tore a hammy in the Western Conference Finals. He's fine now, bro. So, all right, sure. I'll take your word for it. Anyway, this is a really fun game. Really love the shape of this one. AD going against Clint Capella. Clint Capella. You got the beard versus Etoile Moore. CP3 versus Jrue Holiday. This is really good. So give it a look. Look, I was pretty tempted to take New Orleans plus 7.5. But look, I think the Rockets come out and not miss a beat and smoke him. So I'll take the Rockets at minus 7.5. A couple more to go. Minnesota at San Antonio. Jimmy Butts is going to play in this one, which is amazing. He's like, hey, dudes, trade me. And they're like, yeah, nah, not going to trade you. And he's like, oh, shit. We also get the debut of DeMar DeRozan there for the Spurs. Will he be another demure, boring-ass MF-er on the Spurs? Or do you reckon he's going to try down burn down the NBA because they traded him from his best mate? I reckon the latter. I love me some DeMar this year, but I think with all the craziness around Minnesota, I'm going to take them plus 3. I don't know why, just a little bit of feeling. San Antonio, though, I've still got their over for the season. I think they'll be good. But Minnesota, plus 3 in this one. Utah, Sacramento, we got the Jingler and Kangaroo Kobe. They're going to smash it. I called the Jazz killing teams this year. He's hoping this is where it starts. Also get to peep the Sacramento dudes, the newer, better Darren Fox, Marv Bags. Harry Giles, fun times, but Utah, easy. Utah minus 8.5. Give me Utah minus 8.5 for that. Dallas at Phoenix. Oh, we might get to see the debut of Rowdy Ryan Brokoff, friend of the podcast. We also get to see the debuts for Luka Doncic and old man DeAndre Ayton and Michael Bridges. Yeah, they've got Michael, don't they? M-I-K-L. Yeah, sure. Anyway, great fun matchup. I reckon this is going to be cool. You got Dennis Smith Jr., DeAndre Jordan making his Dallas debut. You've got Ariza and Ryan Anderson on Phoenix all of a sudden. You got all the young dudes. It's going to be fun as hell. Like this game. Phoenix -1.5. I'll take that because Dallas were over in China, and I think that's a real problem. All that travel. It's a long way, man. It's a long way. And then finally, you got Denver at the Clippers. Little teacup Thomas. Do you reckon he's back? We've got Thrill Sap. He's back. You got Nikola Jokic. Hello. You got Jamal Murray and the dartsman Gary Harris. Love the Nugs. Clips, they might be the weirdest team in the NBA. They're like the Island of Misfits toys. Similar to the Lakers, but maybe a little bit better than that weird collection on the Lakers. I don't know. You got possibly the best defensive backcourt in the NBA. In Avery Bradley and Pat Bev going up against one of the best offensive ones. And Gary Harris, the dartsman, and Jamal Murray. So it's going to be interesting to watch this game. It's going to be very fun, I think. Give me Denver -1. I'll take that. I think they win this game. You know what? Why not? And you know what? Oh, my God. That is it for today. Our first show of the season is in the books. And we're back tomorrow with a huge array of NBA games to wrap up all those ones we just talked about to see how our picks went as everybody else kicks off the season. That's right, man. We're back with all your favorites for everything. That's not a knife. That's a knife. Better than Lonzo Ball, Spud of the Night, Australian Player Watch, and wrapping all those other games. It's going to be fun as hell. In the meantime, make sure you're following NBA Australia on Twitter, Facebook, Insta, getaroundnbaaustralia.com. And while you're at it, chuck us a rating and review on iTunes, Google Podcasts, however you listen to this bloody thing. It helps out heaps. And tell a mate, would you? Just go, oi, dickhead, you listen to NBA Australia? New season, bro. It's how you stay up to date, dickhead. Huge thanks to From Oslo for the intro and outro music, but go check out their new band House Hats. They're the best band in Australia right now. Their new single I've Been Broken is an absolute rip snorter. Get that in your ears and go hit up Triple J or whatever radio station you listen to and chuck them a request. Also thanks to Fascinator, Ramshackle Army, Iowa, Sex Jedi and Dozers for the tunes you heard throughout the episode. Give them a smash on Bandcamp and Facey. Remember, NBA Australia supports Australian bands. And that is it. Stick around for a brand new Joe Ingles HR manager as he answers your questions about NBA HR. And we'll catch you tomorrow, you dickheads. This is NBA Australia saying, later, Jose! Oh, g'day. It's Joe Ingles here. Just swinging by the NBA Australia office because when I'm not sinking threes and owning Paul George in the playoffs, I'm also out here running my own HR consultancy business in Salt Lake City. After I got my HR degree in the off-season, oh, you little ripper, here we are. Yep, so all you jingler jokers are right. I do look like a HR bloke because I am one. So, all right, let's get stuck in and help out some poor jingler joke with a HR problem, shall we? So this week's letter, it comes from Jimmy in Minneapolis, and it says, Dear Joe, I am stuck in an untenable work position. My role at my current place of employment is not valued as much as I believe it ought to be. These guys seriously can't put any wins on the board without my presence. And I've spent the last couple of weeks letting them know that I would like to work elsewhere. But I am still here. Do you have any tips? I've tried yelling at my boss, spitting at my boss, belittling my coworkers, and telling anyone who'll listen that I don't want to be here and that they fucking need me to be any good at their jobs. So any advice as to what else I could do would be greatly appreciated. Cheers, Jimmy, Minneapolis. Oh, well, 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 Jimmy, mate. Like, oh, it sounds like you've exhausted what Jingler HR would call not great ideas. Look, all I can say is that you need to work with your management team to clear as many communication roadblocks as you possibly can. Essentially, it's all about getting on the same page, moving in the right direction, putting pins in problems, and trying to collaboratively approach creating a tenable work environment. And if you can manage that, I think you'll find everyone will be much happier and much more willing to meet their KPIs and succeed as a collective. And then you'll also prove your worth to any other interested parties who might come to the table and be willing to take you on. See, as we've always said here at Jingler HR, We don't burn bridges, we build them, and then sink threes from them. Nice one, Jingler. So, stay the course, be strong, keep open lines of communication, and the only good things will happen. So best of luck. All right, that's it for this week. Hope that helps you out there, Jimmy. I've been Joe Ingles, and this has been the Joe Ingles HR Session. We'll catch us next week on NBA Australia.